Considering you guys run the ball more than any team in the league, the Browns and the Texans, you could be playing in the snow, and Cleveland's kind of like old-fashioned football. Do you like that?
I love it.
I just think this time of the year, you know, my memories of football, you know, especially coaching-wise, where it was snowing and some of the bigger games that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of, where it came down to, you know, who controlled the ball the best, who performed the best in the weather, in the wind, in the snow. You know, those are the games you really remember. And, you know, these are it looks like that's what this game's shaping up to be. You know, it's Cleveland. It's you know, it's November and probably will be snowing and windy.
Why do you think that is, that coaches and players like that?
I just think that this is the time of the year, you know, where really the season takes shape. You know, so these are the, not that, you know, every game's important. You know, every single game's important. But at this time of the year, when you're still in the hunt, you know, these games are very, very important to your season. So, and they usually coincide with winter time, you know, that type of weather. So, you know, that's what I think most players and coaches look forward to, that time of the year.
About the physical part, it's a physical game.
Yeah.
Today, it's more of a pass-oriented game. It isn't often you get the two teams that have the highest percentage of runs together. Is the physical part, since that's what the game about, does that make it even more interesting?
Well, I think that's what, you know, at the end of the day, that's what this game's all about. You know, it's a very physical game. You know, especially in this type of game, it's going to come down to, you know, who can run the ball, who can stop the run, who can take care of the ball, who does the best job of situational football. They have a really good special teams unit. They've blocked two punts. They've blocked the field goal. So it comes down to special teams. And usually all of those areas involve the physical part of the game. And that's kind of the part of the game that I love the most. You know, I love the strategy. I really enjoy the players, obviously, but that physical part of the football game is something that I think that all coaches and players really enjoy.
Do you take different cleats? Do you guys decide once you get out and see the surface at Cleveland and the weather? Is it up to the player, or does Jay or coaches decide what cleats?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the player has to be comfortable with what type of cleats he's wearing. But we make, depending on what type of surface it is, you know, obviously Cleveland natural grass. We'll see what the weather's like up there. But, you know, we'll make recommendations relative to the weather as to what we think the players should wear, and we'll have it all. Jay Bird, he'll have everything there ready to go. And at the end of the day, the players have to be comfortable with what they're wearing. And so, you know, I don't force the issue on the players, but I'm sure that the players are smart enough to know that they need some good traction, you know, based on what type of weather it is.
Bill, what can you tell us about the meeting room relationship between Ryan and Brian when you were in New England?
Ryan and Brian Hoyer, yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. We had a good room. The most important thing was that you were able to get along with Brady. The relationship with those two guys didn't really. You better get along with Tom Brady. No. I'm kidding. You know, I think that was a good group of guys in that room. You know, with Tom and Brian and Ryan. And Ryan was a rookie, and I think he learned a lot that year. He learned a lot about the NFL. You know, when you're in a room with Tom and Brian at that time was in his third year, you know, those guys really do a good job of working with the younger players. And so I think specifically to Brian and Ryan, I would tell you that they had a good relationship there. And Brian's a good guy. You know, he's a good teammate, and so is Mallett. So it was a good room.
What do you like best about the way Mallett has responded since you gave him the job?
You know, I think with him, I just really enjoy coaching him because of his personality. You know, I think he's a good teammate. He's really into football. He loves football. Even when he was on the sideline in the games, he was kind of like a somewhat of a coach on the sideline, trying to kind of tell us what he would see, what things were standing out to him during a game. You know, he just loves being around the team, and he's shown that now. You know, as the starter, you know, he's out there, he's doing a good job operating the offense. And, you know, it seems to me that he's doing a good job throwing the football. So, you know, it'll be, we're all excited to see what he's going to do on Sunday.
What if Christian asked today, if he thought that his arm was his biggest asset? He actually said no, he said my football IQ
to that end, what do you see from Mallett in terms of, you know, his football smarts?
Yeah, you know, he was a guy that even when we were preparing for him in the, you know, when we were studying him in the draft, he played at Arkansas for Bobby Petrino, which was a very was a pro offense, and so he had very, very good knowledge of that offense. And I can remember talking to him when he came out, when he was coming out for the draft, that, you know, I just felt like he was a very knowledgeable guy, and he is. He's a knowledgeable football guy. He studies. He's, you know, he's in here all the time, and I would say that about Fitzy too. You know, Fitzy and Savage has learned from those two guys, you know, how important it is to study and learn the game of football, especially at this level, and I think Mallett's done a good job of that.
From a standpoint, what are the advantages that you have knowing Hoyer versus them not really having much to go on watching Mallett?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Patty, if that's an advantage. I mean, I know Hoyer relative to the New England system that I coached him in. You know, this is a different system that he's in. You know, obviously with Mallett having not played that much, you know, I'm sure they're looking at some of the things that we do and things like that. But I don't look at that as much of an advantage. I look at it more about making sure that the Houston Texans are ready to go and that we understand what we need to do to win the game. You know, Cleveland is a very, very good football team. They're 6-3 for a reason. They're well coached, very good on defense, offensively do a really good job of running the football, play action, passing. And then special teams. You know, special teams has done a good job for him, so it's a big challenge for us.
Did you ever think when back in 2011 that you had Hoyer and you had Mallett, and one day you'd be coaching an NFL team and the two would be starting quarterbacks for their respective teams? Did that even occur to you back then?
Or well, I know this. You could, you know, anything's possible in football. I can tell you that. I mean, you know, it's just the way it goes. You know, it is pretty interesting, though, that I read somewhere that this was labeled the Brady Backup Bowl or something like that. But these guys are starters now, and you give Brian Hoyer a ton of credit. You know, he's a hardworking guy. He comes from a great family, just a great guy, and he's had a lot of success, and he deserves that. He's earned that. You know, he's earned that. He's done a good job, and you know, Mal has a shot now, an opportunity to go out there and lead our football team. And, you know, so far in practice, I've really liked what I've seen, and let's see how it goes on Sunday.
Bill, could you give us an update on Arian?
Arian, that's definitely day-to-day. That's definitely, you know, we'll come in here tomorrow. We'll see how he's doing tomorrow, but that's definitely day-to-day.
How did Tom treat the guys, the young guys?
Very well. Yeah, I thought he did a good job of, you know, answering their questions and really just setting an example more than anything, just setting that example of you know, how to prepare, how to work, how to approach practice every day. I just thought he was really good about that. And I think those guys would, not to speak for them, but I would consider, they would probably consider themselves, you know, fortunate to have the opportunity to have backed him up for a few years, because they I'm sure they learned a lot from the coaching and also watching him prepare week in and week out.
Is it learning just through watching him, or does he have time to do any mentoring with those guys?
I mean, you'd probably have to ask him. I know when I was in the room with those guys, you know, obviously the meeting was mostly geared towards Tom, you know, getting ready for the game. But I would say that if those guys had questions, I know that he's a great teammate. He would answer them. So I'm sure they took, these two are smart guys, you know, Mallett and Hoyer. I'm sure they took advantage of that. But that's probably more of a question for Tom. I'm sure he could answer that better than me.
He was apparently said today in New England that he was looking forward to watching the game on television.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. He'll probably be watching it. So I don't know when they play. I'm not sure what time their game is. Is that the night game? Yeah. So I'm sure he'll be watching it. He'll probably get a kick out of it.
Bill, is there anything left that has surprised you about JJ today since you've been working with him?
Say that again.
Anything left that has surprised you about JJ Watt?
Oh, I mean, nothing surprises me about JJ Watt. I mean, this guy. It's like all the little things, you know, little things that you see this guy do every day that you really hope that the younger players are watching this guy and how he approaches the game. You know, he has certain obligations on Tuesday. Yesterday was their day off. So he comes in and gets his lift in early. You know, he makes sure that he gets his workout in that he has to get in for the week, you know, or he's in here every morning at 6 a.m., you know, taking care of his body, doing different things, watching film. He stays late. I saw him in here the other night. It was like 8 o'clock at night. I mean, the guy's everything you want in a football player and in a teammate. And you know, it's just it's great to have him on our team. You know, I'm glad he's on our team. That's for sure. You watch him every Sunday, and you're very, very glad that he's on your team.
Are you? I know you can't be specific. The things he's having to combat every Sunday different from the opposition who's trying to control and contain him. Can you talk about that and how he's working around that?
As far as how they block him?
Right, exactly.
Well, I think I'll say this, too. I think that's a great question. I think that we, as a coaching staff led by Romeo on that side, they've done a really good job of moving him around. You know, and I think if you ask opposing coaches, I think it's very difficult to get a beat on him where he's going to be aligned because he's an end. He's inside at three technique. Sometimes he's on the center. Sometimes he could be floating around, walking around, and he times up a blitz from somewhere where he's walking around. So I think that's a big key, and I think JJ would say that. You know, he would tell you that it's good to be moved around. But I think the thing that makes him such an impactful player on every play is that it's not just him defeating single blocks. He beats double teams quite a bit. You know, if you watch the tape and you watch whether it's a run or a pass where he's getting double teamed, he splits it, he beats it. He did it several times last week against Philly, and he's just a very, very difficult guy to block. He's relentless and just does a great job.